it going? Indeed. Bring it the correct side up. We've been talking about selection, and in the process of selection, we've talked about the validation processes, both concurrent and predictive. And now we have started at least a little bit, starting about various processes that we can use to select. And we talked about the application blank. Then we talked about biodata, which is, of course, useful. And we talked about improving the interview process, which is rife with, or rife, it could be either one, rife with possible biases and gathering of the wrong information and all kinds of stuff. So we've sort of hopefully cleared that up, and we need to go on to a few of the other things that are generally considered. One thing I consider, and Rye had to go through this when he got his job at his landscape architectural firm down in Wilmington, he did a two-day trial. He went down there, and they said, we want you to come down for a couple days so we can see you at work. And so he did that. And I called him, I guess, in the middle, that night after his first day. I said, how'd it go? He said, it was so easy, it was scary. These people need someone to do this. And I said, okay. So he's got the job. But anyway, I thought that was a good thing, work samples from applicants, right? I'm sort of thinking about work samples as a future predictor of future job performance. It's pretty good. Does a person have the necessary skills? You can watch them. Rather than just listen to how they say they can do a job, you watch them try doing the job, right? Can they do the necessary CAD work on the computer that interfaces with the various landscape architectural software, which he helped develop, one of the largest packages, the most widely used packages he helped develop for the thing. And whether or not this person will fit in not only with the work, but also with their personalities that fit for the firm. And that's kind of cool, too. So all in all, I think this idea of having someone come in and try a job sampling for even a more important job is a good idea. Job samples as a tool have often been used, but they've been a much smaller, like, you know, can you run a keyboard? Can you type a certain word speed? And this and that. Those job samples, when they use them, they're much shorter, and they're a direct interpretation of what the job will be, like keyboard work, data entry work, those kinds of things. So job samples are probably valid predictor of future job performance because it's so hands-on manual. But with what he had to do, they just said, here's the task we need you to do, sit down and do it. A lot more open-ended. So that was kind of cool. Okay, so we have that kind of a work sample type test, which has at least probably predictive validity, and could be useful for you to do that. Of course, all this time, we got to be careful about biases, right? The biases that the people watching might tend to bring to bear on this candidate. It's a big issue, definitely a problem issue. I'm trying to think of any physical other kinds of things. No matter what's used, and I mentioned the salt, salting your food before you taste it kind of thing, make sure that if you're going to use any kind of selection tool, that it does indeed have validity. And don't be using invalid tests because you could be throwing people out. For example, maybe they're going to take Rye out for dinner, and if he put salt on his food, which he wouldn't because he doesn't use salt, but if he had, then he wouldn't have gotten the job and he would have been a highly qualified person. So using an inaccurate test, obviously you're going to throw out qualified people. So if you're making up tests like job samples and the like, don't put a minor part of the job into that job sample selection test. You should only use major responsibilities associated with that particular job. Okay. Also, moving on now to another area which you're familiar with is the idea of tests. Now, really, all I've talked about so far are in forms of tests. Interview is a form of test. right? Filling out an application blank is a form of test, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're talking about specifically tests that are supposed to be, yes, I'll put a question mark, predictors, but not obviously related, which would be more of the job sample. So I'll put EG, for example, job sample. What kind of tests are you going to be exposed to, for example? When you go for a job, what kind of paper and pencil tests do you expect to get? That we can talk about. None? Come on. Have you been exposed to any of them?
Like a basic math test?
Yeah, sure. Or maybe some sort of spreadsheet manipulation. Can you work Excel? Right? That kind of stuff. So this might be related, almost like a job sample stuck in here. So this would be a skills test. And to the degree to which that skill is related to the job, you know, stronger relationship is better. So the more that the Excel spreadsheet, for example, is used in the job, the better that's going to be as a predictor of a person being able to do their actual job. So a skills test. Most of those are fairly straightforward if it's kept closely related to the job itself. It's when it moves off into psychological testing. That's a sign for psychology, right? Psychological testing. When you move into psychological testing, that you begin to wonder about the validity of the selection test.
Sorry, what's that? What testing?
This is the Greek symbol for psychology. You learn to use that pretty quickly in grad school because you're taking notes and they use the word a lot. So what are you thinking about here? What kind of test would get at, you know, the type of person you are internally?
Myers-Briggs,
right? Myers-Briggs type inventory, MBTI. The Myers-Briggs type inventory, do you know what it is at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Mostly you know what it is then? It looks at your personality profile and decides from the personality profile whether or not you're going to be the appropriate person for a job. What do you know about its success rate? Anything? Does it seem like a bunch of hokey? Does it seem like it'll work? The most amazing thing to me is when I started in grad school, one of my professors was hyper into the MBTI. And I asked him, I said, can a psychological test of a personality type actually fit the type of work? He said, just swing my door closed. I thought he was going to tell me a dirty joke or something useful. But I closed his door, and on the back there was a chart of the 16 possible personalities. So 16 types with MBTI types. So these were the various types, introvert, extrovert, types of thinking, and summary measure. So, and he saw, showed me how these interacting here were then broken out into types of work that the people did. So, for example, he said, you know, take a look at where college professors are. College professors are 95% thinking, analyzing type of people. It's remarkable, like huge cluster right here or wherever it happened to be. Then he said, you're doing a lot of work with garment sewers. And I said, yeah. He said, bottom right corner. They were all right there, garment sewer type of work, hand work. Amazing. So, yes, it's very predictive. And if you hire someone that doesn't fit, chances are they're not going to stay with the job because people have certain personalities. What kind of personality, for example, is a garment sewer? That's what I would have thought, but because you sit there all by yourself all day long sewing it, but that's in reality not what they do. What they do is spend the whole day chatting about each other's family, where they're getting bargains, interacting with each other, right, and sewing the heck out of these things that they're supposed to be sewing out of. So these are extrovert people, very much extrovert. So when I did my garment sewing dissertation, I gave them the MBTI, a short version of it, and there was no introverts in the 351 people that I had. There were no introverts. They were all extroverts, interestingly enough. But do you think that they actually had ever hired any introverts and said, you have a job here, come on in and start sewing? Do you think they had probably done this or not? Yeah, they had. And what happened to them? No, they're not a protection group, unfortunately. Weirdos need not apply, not covered. They applied, they got the jobs, but they didn't stay. They couldn't handle it, whatever it was. You know, something about this job, garment sewing, did not allow them to be comfortable on the job, whereas the extroverts, the sensing, feeling people, right, who were emotionally driven, et cetera, were very much at home on this job. Supposedly the MBTI is consistent. It doesn't change over time. I hear your point completely.
I think you can put it on as a face, but at the end of the day, like if you have to be extroverted, you can do it. But I believe that people really are introverted or extroverted at their root of themselves.
Yeah.
Well, this professor certainly was, I'm talking about here. He pretended to be an extrovert in class as he was teaching, but he was clearly weird, which is to say introverted. What can you say? So, in my opinion, it works. Used correctly, the MBTI can work.
Wouldn't this help along more rotational routes? Describe me perfectly.
Rotational?
Vocational.
Oh, vocational routes. I think it would help. I think it would help orientate a young person toward the type of job they would be best at. I wouldn't say that you should slam them into that mold no matter what, but it's one indicator that's what they would be good at. I think that's a good point. And apparently it's successful. You can get the book and read about it. It's just a little paper book. Differing Gifts or some such is the name of the book. But different abilities, right? So the MBTI, in my opinion, as a psychological test, seems to work. What else? What's another type of psychological test? Begins with an I. Second letter Q.
No. Quiz.
Oh, IQ.
God.
An IQ test, right? I'll put a question mark there. What's it mean? It means we're testing how, quote, smart, unquote, you are. What do we know about IQ tests? What do you know? Anything? Aside from the fact that it's a measurement of intelligence. Measurement of intelligence.
It doesn't work the same for everyone.
Yeah, I don't think they're always completely accurate. I've heard.
Because
they keep changing the SAT for one thing. I mean, you got to keep it uniform throughout the year. I mean, you can't just.
They don't change it during the year, do they?
No, but, all right, I graduated 4 years ago, and every four questions you answered, if you got four wrong, every four questions you guessed on, every one you got wrong, they took off a fourth of a point. Now they don't take off anymore. You can't measure somebody.
How many questions are there?
No.
I was just going to take a fourth of that, get a good estimate of what I got.
I mean, if you're a smart person, you'll rationally think and say, well, hey, if I gap on four questions and I get two right, then it's worth it.
I did hear they made it easy.
It is. That's what I'm saying. I could probably go back to high school and go to Harvard or something now.
Well, they probably raise the standards now for the test scores.
I don't know. I wonder about that. Whether they made it. They might be easier. Or maybe they have to make it easier because they could figure the educational processes aren't as good.
Yeah, have you seen the part of the today?
So what do we have about IQ test here? We have the possibility of a varying outcome. And as I mentioned to you, may have mentioned to you before, your environment heavily influences how you do on the score. So if you're in an environment that happens to be distracting for you personally, you're going to have trouble doing this test accurately. And it also, as he was saying, some IQ tests do reward you for guessing, which I didn't realize at the time. I did an IQ test called the Wonderlic, which is another one. Weird name, isn't it? That was the guy's name, L-I-C. So 50 questions, 50 spatially oriented questions, and it's supposed to correlate with your IQ. And it's out of 50 questions, I got 39, something like that.
Yeah,
then,
They use that with the NFL.
Do you?
No, they use it with the NFL. For a quarterback.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonder?
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, well, this is when I was just messing around. I took it because I was in grad school and I wanted to see what it's like. Meanwhile, my older son, Aaron, was fooling around in there. I don't know what he was doing. He said, I'll do it, Dad. I'll do it. I said, okay. So I sat, he was in seventh grade. So he sat down with it and he sort of read the instructions and he had whatever it is, 9 minutes, 8 minutes, 12 minutes?
Yeah,
something like that.
Short amount.
I forget. He got a 36 in seventh grade, 3 points less than I got. I said, Jesus, Aaron, that's really pretty good. He said, Dad, you did it all wrong. I said, what do you mean? He said, you went from the ones you thought you could do down through the whole thing and did the ones you could do. I said, yeah. He said, I did all the ones I knew I could do, and when I got to the ones where I couldn't do, I just guessed at them all. And he was right. I didn't realize you're supposed to guess. But, so.
You had 39 on it?
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
Huh? What did Lil Wayne get?
I'm trying to find the quarterback. Because the quarterback made a perfect score.
50? Right. Fitzpatrick made a perfect score.
Out of a 50?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And then I think Peyton Manning got like a 48.
Yeah.
Was he a good quarterback?
He's got 500 touchdowns. 499 right now.
But he does.
He's about to break the record.
Wow. Is he smart?
Yeah.
An eight? How's he doing? Not very well.
And Ben Jones is a bitch, though. When he was with the Tennessee Titans, they were winning more games than they
had. Do they have a score? Do they have a listing of these scores somewhere?
Yeah.
This is great. I got to look this up. So MBT, it would be the Wonderlic scores for NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
This is great.
Just put like highest 10, lowest 10 or something.
I assume you can't just be smart. Like, let's say, for example, I scored a 47. That doesn't mean automatically that I can play football as a quarterback.
Yeah, that Ryan Fitzpatrick proved that.
Because he did well, but he was crappy.
He's been inconsistent.
Inconsistent, that means bad.
I mean, he had, like, one good year, and then he had a bad year, and he dipped out, and now he's on another team. He's starting for a race. So he's back to being a starter, but he's not a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
This is an idea of using the Wonderlic to predict how smart people are, or show how smart people are. It's really fast because it only takes whatever it is, 12 minutes or 9 minutes, as opposed to an entire IQ spectrum, which takes a couple hours. Well, it's not so much about thinking fast. It's a question of there's only 50 questions, and you just have a few minutes to do them. You just do them as quickly as you can go, and you're finished. That's it. The IQ test looks at all kinds of other things. But in any case, the Wonderlic may not, it's probably a good predictor, but then some people, like my son, were able to see what the technique was that was going to give him the best score. So,
he's a pretty smart kid anyway.
This is my other son. Our other son.
Oh, I was going to say, is this the one that pays
on him? No, this is the other one.
I'm actually
not sure which ones. They have different, and this is, there's also different intelligences. This kid was great at math. Unbelievable. In seventh grade, he got a 720 on his whatever it is, SAT scores or whatever, on math section in seventh grade. But his brother has observational. He just sees everything and processes everything. Look, they painted the roof on that building over there yesterday. What? who would have noticed? Let's see, different ways of measuring smartness or seeing smartness. So I would encourage you to make sure that if you're looking at this kind of IQ test score, make sure that it lines up with the type of job you're doing. Further, what do we know about IQ? Should you go ahead and hire the people with the highest IQ?
No.
Because?
Their EQ might be really low.
Pardon?
They might have like a really low, you know, emotional comp, or what do you call it, EQ.
But think about this, just from the point of view of this IQ test. What's the pressure to hire a high IQ person? What makes you think that you should have a high IQ person? Because they're smart, right? And smart people do a job better. But is that true?
Depends on what you're doing.
Depends exactly on what you're doing.
Yeah, if you're in sales, it might not matter as much.
Because some smart people aren't good at teaching.
We're talking.
Like, I'm taking that personally.
No, some smart people are some people are so smart that they can't teach something because they get it.
I know what you mean. It's so obvious to them that they can't understand why nobody else gets it.
They don't have a formula.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's
kind of
sad.
I had my chemistry teacher in high school.
He
was so happy. He gave us all the answers to the benchmark test. So we all made 100 for 98.
Really?
Yeah. He was too smart to teach the class, but like when we took our benchmark, he told us he'd give us 100 in the test grade if we all did. He would be like, dang, man, those ducks outside. Really loud, and he'd be like, D as in duck, number 3.
Whatever floats the boat, you know. But what I'm getting at is, are there jobs that are not going to be associated with smart people?
Yes,
NFL quarterbacks. Or a really boring job, right? So my oldest son goes down to grind boots at the Timberland plant that was here. He's going to work there the whole summer. He lasted a half a day because he did the same thing over and over again, burst into tears, and went home. And I said, that's fine, Aaron. Stay here. We'll have a grand time this summer working together, doing stuff around the house. And so we did. It was great. But he was too smart to grind the soles on boots. It just wasn't working out. And as he left, the woman that's at the front desk said, is it something I did? That's what I remember. Like, anyway, my point is here that don't pick people simply because they're smart. But research shows if you have 10 applicants, all of whom are familiar with the job and understand that it's going to be boring, and those people all want the job, then you can use an IQ test and select the intelligent person out of that cohort group that want the job. That works. The smartest of people who have already done the job, understand its level of boredom, etc., those people will be your best employee, even if the high IQ might be 105 or 100 or whatever.
So, generally on average, the most educated are the smartest. But if you had someone who was less educated but was smarter than someone who was more educated, how would you?
Depends on the nature of the job. See, that's the point. Now, my dad dropped out of school in 11th grade, but he also scored a 160 on his military IQ. So what can you say?
The ASVAB. ASVAB.
Can't hear you.
The ASVAB.
ASVAB.
I thought that was the name of the military.
Oh, I don't know. That beats me. He just told me that we were talking about this, and he said, well, one time I got a, I told you this already, one time I got a 60, and another time I got a 160. I said, well, obviously the first one was right. You know, so I don't think so. He's about the most relaxed guy in the world. Anyway, so IQ tests are fine given that you use it appropriately. That's my point here. And don't go with the social requirements that you have smart people working for you. Sometimes smart people working for you aren't going to be the best person for the job. Okay?
A lot of smart people can't be together.
They can't what? They can't get it together with other people, or they can't focus on what needs to be done, or all kinds of things, right? There's plenty of smart people, it's just they don't fit for what needs to be done. And then what about psychological tests like the Rorschach test, the inkblot test? What do you think?
You mean, what do you think of when you see this weird picture?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They take a hunk, they take a bottle of ink, they dump it on a piece of paper, smash it into a pattern, and they open up and show it to you. And you're supposed to tell a story about it, right? And you look at it and you say, I see a job applicant really pissed off and he's taking an axe to the supervisor. That's what I see in this ink blot test. Will you get the job? Well, no, but maybe that's accurate. Who knows? But the validity of interpreting an ink blot, you gotta wonder about this. But people do it. What about the TAT? Do you know it? Thematic apperception test. A picture. Here's the picture. Can you tell my dad was an artist? There. Oh, and my duck. And my grandpa, too. And here comes the river. Or something. Okay, what is it?
Sunsetting. Horizon.
What is it?
The sunsetting horizon over a mountain.
Sun rising over a mountain.
No, it's not.
Setting.
It could be the...
It's eggs with two pieces of toast over it and whipped cream on the corner.
You're hired for a short order cook.
No.
Okay, so what we have here is the possibility of sunrise versus sunset, right? In the Jackson Brown song, if you've ever heard it. So we have a sunrise versus sunset situation, and people make a decision on this about whether you want to hire a person who sees this as a new day, because it represents opportunities to go out and sell, damn it. Or it represents a person who sees it as sunset, and they're going to go home and drink, damn it. So which one are you going to hire, right? Well, supposedly the eager go-getter. I mean, to me, this is really stretching it. People use these things.
I had to do one for a psych class that had this whole picture of a woman sitting in a corner and a man like slamming the door, and she had like an upset face. And you had to write like a whole page paper about what had happened.
Oh my God. Did you write really big? You didn't make your letters about this tall. What a jerk, he's leaving! Exclamation period. Right. What'd you put? Some BS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to like think opposite of exactly what it looked like.
Opposite of what?
Of exactly what it looked
like. Really?
It looked like a man just yelled at a woman and she was upset.
And he went slamming out of the room, right?
Maybe she
came up with some dumb story about how it was something different.
He was broke from wasting all his money on sports cars, drink, and wild women, right? And then he came to borrow money from her, and she said, "Get bent, you idiot," right? And he stormed out of the room. That's the story I would like. Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Does this stuff work or not? That's my point. If you use these kinds of tests, whatever they are, as you supposedly get to the brain of people, please, don't assume that there's an easy answer, like the sunrise means that the person's eager, whatever. Validate the tests in some form or fashion. Even if you have to do it concurrently, which you know is not acceptable in court, at least you can talk to your current employees and say, "I'm thinking about using this thematic apperception in these pictures. Can you write me a little description about what you see?" And 15 of your employees, 20 employees do it, and you look at what they say, and if their interpretations are obviously one way or the other, see if it corresponds with their performance appraisals. Try to validate them. Don't just assume that because they seem like they're useful that they actually are useful. Too many bad decisions could be made off of this kind of thing. Psychological tests are really something that are worrisome. How about honesty tests, lie detectors, and those kinds of things? Do you know anything about them? Lie detectors, they strap something on your arm and hook it up to the machine. They take a baseline measure. Then they start asking you all these questions, and they see whether or not the meter goes up because you start sweating. Galvanic skin response, it's called. You don't need to know that. But it's like, it's basically sweating. To what degree do you start sweating when people ask you these questions? Have you ever stolen things from a store, right, et cetera, et cetera. And right? If you're nervous, then the needle goes up because you're sweating and blah, blah. But what's been shown is that a number of people can easily cheat these machines. Once you get good at it, once you have any exposure to them, you learn how to cheat these machines. So by and large, you're not allowed to use lie detectors, electronic lie detectors anymore, except for security type jobs like at jewelry stores and like selling watches, etc. So since you can't do that, they started putting together paper and pencil honesty tests. Have you ever stolen anything from a store? What are you going to write?
They check your handwriting, don't they?
I don't know. I hope not.
Wait, what?
You're
never
way too into that.
Wait, what? I thought you said, like, detect lies or something.
So, what would you put? Have you stolen things from a store? Yes or no?
No.
Yes.
I'd be honest.
I would assume that it's best to be honest. You know why? Because the general consensus is that everybody has stolen something at one time or another. I told you about the manhole I stole, right? Manhole cover? It's a long and somewhat squalid story about my youngster life. I was impressing a young woman by stealing a manhole cover that she'd admired in Philadelphia. So I pried the thing out of the street and put it in the back of my Volkswagen. The thing almost tipped over. The freaking thing was so heavy. Huh? Yeah, they're heavy. Really heavy. This one had pieces of pink glass in it to let glass down the light in below. So, and I got it up to the front porch on her house where she's still living with her parents. And she came out and laughed her ass off about it. I said, here it is. As far as I know, it's still sitting there because no one's moved the thing. You know, 30 years later, it's probably 40 years later, it's probably still there. But you're worried about the hole in the street, aren't you?
Yeah.
Isn't somebody going to walk into that hole? I took a trash can, a Philadelphia trash can, and set it in the hole, fit perfectly, sticking up so that nobody could fall into the hole. Wasn't that a considerate thing to do? And the funny thing was, about 5 days later, I was driving a car down by 30th Street Station, and there was a homeless, I don't know if he's homeless, but he was certainly drunk, stepped right into a manhole that was open.
That
happened like 5 days after I'd stolen a manhole cover. I thought it was so weird. But it wasn't the same manhole. Thank God.
But what might happen if somebody put that one when
you
stole
it? Yeah, that's an idea. I could be responsible anyway.
Yeah.
But my point is here, these honesty tests I'm a little wondering about. There's this sort of social response that's acceptable to put on these kinds of tests. And we assume that we better put the socially acceptable one, but the people who write the test know that, so they know that if you put down never stolen anything, never hurt the old lady, always helped old ladies across the street, never spit on the sidewalk, if you put all that stuff, they know you're lying because you're too perfect, I guess, or whatever. It's too hard to think. Plus the fact, what's the nature of the job? If you're using that test for used car salesmen, what do you think? Pardon? They won't care, or maybe they look for the people that are lying, you know, or really comfortable lying. Huh?
Yeah.
When you hire, hey, how do you know they're lying, right? So what we have here, then, is this idea that these tests generally, these ones that are here under these psychological tests, in my opinion, tend to look for socially acceptable responses. They aren't necessarily the thing that you want on your job. So validate, validate, validate as you do this. Always validate. Validate the validation. Exactly. All right, now you can go home and start validating. I'm going to send you the test to work on over the weekend and get together with your buddies, and then you're going to turn it in.
Where were we, right?